John D. Burns, mountains, middle age, and much, much more.
Hello, I'm John Burns. I'm just about to set off on my walk into the Cairngorms. It's bitterly cold here at the car park on the ski road, and the snow is absolutely rock hard. So that should promise to be quite a good walk in. It was pretty sunny earlier on, but of course the sun's gone now. But it's quite an impressive place to be, I have to admit. It's, you know, you can see the huge expanse of the Cairngorms around you. Great sort of white sweeping slopes, fairly gentle slopes to this side, but I'll be heading off up through the Lowry Grew and into Curragh Bothy with a bit of luck, and from there tomorrow I'll be walking back, I think, over the hills again. That'll take probably more than a bit of luck. The weather forecast is described as being benign. I think if you were dressed in a little short shift, you know, you wouldn't think it was benign then, would you? It's benign if you're wrapped up in all the clothes you've got and you happen to have a big down sleeping bag. That's where it's benign. But it reminds me, it must be probably nearly 30 years since I first came to the Cairngorms. And I set off then. It was around about the same time of year. It's just after Easter now. And I was at university at the time, studying social work. And in the timetable, there was, I noticed, a week's study leave. And I read this several times just to make sure, a week off. Now, study leave to me obviously meant that I would set off and hitchhike up to the Cairngorms, as you do. So I arrived here, and it was, as Easter can be, it was deep winter at the time. Several feet of snow, and I walked in the first day. I only made as far as the Hutchinson Memorial Hut, which was obviously in existence in those days. And I met a few guys from the Lake District in there, all crammed in this little concrete box, all running with condensation. And I was fascinated from then on. It was an amazing experience. And from that, the following day, we made it into Curragh. Arrived in Curragh. Was there for a couple of days, I think. Still in winter. And then, as the Cairngorms can do, it decided, well, we've had enough of this. I think I will switch somewhere on now. And in about, a few hours, what had been feet of snow was just melted and gone, and it was pouring with rain. It left quite an impression on me, as did the fact that probably several hundred people had, in a circle around the Bothy, used the toilet in deep snow. But when the snow melted, their efforts, shall we say, remained. So anyway, I'm going to head off now. And you'll hear me gasping doubtless on the next few recordings, but I'm going to head off, and I'll report to you when I'm next in the, when I'm in the Lowry Grew. How's that? Okay. Oh, I should say, before the Forestry Commission get onto me, I did try and pay to park here, but your machine's frozen solid and it didn't want to know, so sorry about that, but temperature has defeated my best attempts at honesty. Thanks very much, I'll speak to you soon. I'm at my lunch stop now in the Lowry Grew. I've made it through the Charlemagne Gap, and I don't know how long I've got with this, because the batteries aren't functioning too well in sub-zero temperatures, so I'm going to be fairly quick here. Around me, a spectacular place, a huge V-shaped valley, and sweeping down from on either side of me are the cliffs. I often take black and white photographs, but you know, you could be sort of like forgiven for thinking that the world was black and white just here, because I can't really see any other colours. The only colour in the whole landscape is me. My little blue rucksack and my yellow sleeping mat, you know. Apart from that, it's black and white. It's clouded over, which is probably quite good, because I think if the sun was beating down on me, I'd lost a few pounds walking in here. But as it is, probably quite good that it's cool or coldish. From here, there should be, with a bit of luck, a reasonably gentle climb for the next couple of miles. That should see me at the Pools of Dee. And then I've got a long descent then to Curragh Bothy itself. As ever in the Cairngorms, I've now moved away from the Northern Corries, and I'm on my own. You very rarely see that many people once you get away from the Corries themselves and the North, which are very accessible. Here they're not too accessible, so you don't see that many folk. Next time I speak to you, hopefully, I shall be in Curragh Bothy. enjoying soup, I suspect. Okay, well, nice to speak to you. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, I've made it. I'm in Caroll Bothy. It was quite an interesting walk in. Most of the snow was pretty good, but the last couple of miles, I have to say, it was thawing quite badly. And I now have one wet foot. This is not doing too bad. I've got the other ones quite dry. I'll have to wop out of here. But one thing I realise is this place, it's gone a lot smaller than it was. But it must be... Oh, I hate to think how long ago it was I was here. Last time I was here, it wasn't lined with wood and it had no wooden floor. The place has got a floor. I mean, Jesus, luxury these days, isn't it, having a floor? There's even a stove in there. I've brought some coal in. Right now, I am the sole occupant of the Bothy, as ever. I saw two guys high on a ridge, I think, who may be headed this way. So maybe I'll have company, who knows. Otherwise, I'll just be sitting staring at the fire, swearing and cursing and spitting as usual. But it's very comfortable, and I'm actually in the process of making broccoli and Stilton soup. On the packet it says you've got to put 675 millilitres of water in the pan. I've no idea what 675 millilitres look like, so I'll put a pint in. Seemed reasonable to me. So I'm brewing that up. I still can't decide to walk out the way back again to the lorry crew, or maybe I'll walk over the hills. Depends how good the weather is. Depends whether it freezes tonight, because I wouldn't like to be ploughing through there in soft snow. And it depends just how enthusiastic I am tomorrow morning. I may wake up totally rigid, who knows. You know, whatever happens, I'm sure I'll have a decent night in here. I've got my new down bag there. I should be warm in that, I'm no doubt. And by the morning, I might even have two dry feet, who knows. But what a place this is. It's if you've never been here, it's got... I swear to God, the place has even got a toilet. Unbelievable. They've built an earth toilet outside, which you climb up to get into. And I'll tell you, the strange thing about that place is, right, there's two toilet seats sat next door to each other, right? Which I thought, first of all, well, that's a bit that's a bit too intimate for me, to be quite honest. But then I realised one was locked. Now, presumably, that's to guard against poo thieves. You know, you can't be too careful. People will nick absolutely bloody anything these days. So one of the toilet seats is locked as a precaution. Yeah. What's the world coming to, eh? Well, I'll maybe speak to you later on, probably tomorrow morning, dry-footed, bright and early, and I'll decide whether I'm going out. But surprisingly enough, I'm not completely exhausted. My legs are a bit achy, but not too bad, really, considering I just popped my way in. So I'll just have my soup, and maybe I'll talk to you again in the morning. Bye-bye. Well, here we are. I've survived a night in Caroll. It was very cosy, actually, I have to say. I couldn't get a particularly good fire going. The fire eventually died out. But, you know, it was warm and there was no wind to speak of, really. Bit of wind rattling the door, which was a bit disconcerting at one point. But, no, it was fine. I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, it's all clagged in, you know. So it'd be no good doing this route. And then I realised it was condensation on the inside of the window and it was perfectly clear outside. So I shall be walking back over the hills with a bit of luck. It's about, what, 6:45 in the morning right now. No point in hanging around, is there? So I've had my tin of corned beef hash I had for breakfast, which was, I suppose it did the trick. Not the most appetising breakfast I've ever had, but there you go. I spent a solitary night in Caroll Bothy. I came here, you see, thinking that, you know, I was being antisocial going to all these remote bothies where nobody goes. I should really just go into one of the popular bothies and mingle with other bothy goers. No. It's Tuesday after Easter Monday, or it was yesterday, I should say. And it's Wednesday now, I suppose. And there was nobody here, not a soul. I waited and I slept, put all my stuff in the corner and waited for the hordes to arrive, but no, not a soul. Still, I'm beginning to wonder
whether these bottles are only empty when I'm in them. You know what I mean? Could be trying to sell me something. Anyway, I'm just getting my gear packed up now. And I shall be heading off into the wild blue yonder. Hopefully, it'll be as clear and sunny a day as it has been recently. Who knows? But it's looking quite good right now. But what I've noticed is the days at the moment start out quite nice, and then by the mid-afternoon, they're coming a bit, and it's windy and cold and horrible. So, hence my early start. I figured if I get the high ground over early on, then I should get the best of the weather. So, I shall speak to you anon. Well, I'll try and speak to you on one of the summits if I can. Just depends on the wind up there. These mics don't like it, you know. And they don't like the cold either. So, anyway, I'll talk to you soon. Oh, I'm a few hours into my walk now. I'm just on the little Vialac between Angel's Peak and Cairn Tool. Now, as you can probably tell, or you perhaps can't if you're not used to recording things, there isn't absolutely a breath of wind. I could be at home in my kitchen. You'll just have to take my word for it. It is absolutely magnificent. All around me, sweeping great vistas of white, huge curving cornices. Some of them dripping over, you know, they've melted and they're massive and they're sort of leaning over. And the sky is vivid blue. And the sun is beating down. I'm actually, my old bald eminence here, it's probably going to get burned. I did think about bringing some sunscreen. I thought, nah, it's Easter. Should have brought sunscreen. But it's absolutely magnificent. I didn't think I'd be able to record up here, because normally the wind on these mics is fatal, you know. But I can. And it's an incredible place to be. And after, you know, typically, right, I cannot see another soul. There isn't another human being for miles. I'm looking down right now into the Larry Grove. I can't quite see the summit of Ben McDewey. Looking across the Brereac. Huge quarries. Great, you know, sort of sweeping ribs of black rock emerging from some ice, like icing sugar white, you know. Incredible. I'm a lucky git, really, aren't I? My legs, however, aren't too convinced this is a good idea. The climb up from Caror wasn't perhaps the most pleasant experience in my life, I have to say. It were snow, it's pretty steep anyway in places, you know. And I'm carrying gear, and the snow is not that brilliant in some places, other places it's pretty good. And where it's bad, you know, it's like two steps up and one step back, or two steps back and one step up, whichever way you want to do it. So it was hard going, you know. You're not going to get here by bike, are you? There's no, unless you can hire a chopper. It's the only way, I suppose. Can you, yeah, listen. That's my feet on the ice. Or it could be me crunching cardboard. You're going to have to decide. There's not a breath of wind, man. It's unbelievable. A few clouds here dotting the sky, but not much. Not much. As I look further north, I can see the clouds begin to build, you know. And I'm guessing, I think, by late afternoon, it might start to come in then. But by late afternoon, I'm hoping to be well on my way out of here. I can't hang around for too long. I've had my biscuit, a drink of water. That's about all I'm allowed now. I'm just going to pop up Angel's Peak. When I say pop up, that will probably involve a lot of gasping and a fair amount of sweat. It's not very far, but trust me, in my age, fair old puff. And then from there, I'm descending towards Brereac. And what I'm hoping, if the snow conditions are reasonable... Do you feel that wind picking up a little bit there? Could you hear it rather? You can't feel it. You're sitting listening to bloody home, aren't you? You can't. I can feel it. You can't. There's a slight breeze that might just be... Yeah, you'll be able to hear that on the mics, I think. That could be me blowing on the mics, of course. Anyway, that's enough of me. I'll have to get on. This is my virtual audio walk around the Cairngorms. I can see in the far distance, well, not the far distance really, just a little afterthought, I can see the weather station on Cairngorm. Crystal clear. And looking the other way, I can see for miles, just, I can't really pick out much because I'm too thick to know what things are, but there's, you can see a long, long way, and it's just, I suppose it's beautiful, isn't it? Anyway, I'll give you another little radio call, possibly from Breiriac, or possibly from my lounge. It depends how much energy I've got by the time I get there, you know? Snackering, doing this recording. So, see you later. I'll come clean in this section of the podcast. I'm actually recording this bit in my lounge at home. It's the following day from the walk, and my legs are a little bit achy, a little bit stiff, but I survived all right. I did it, and after I did get up onto Breiriac, incredibly spectacular spot, I have to say. And one of the few places in the Cairngorms is a little short section of narrow ridge with the drop on either side. You don't get that very often in the Cairngorms. You get big drops, but you know, but usually there's a bit of a plateau on one side. But this, I followed up some of the huge cornices there, and they narrow to a point, which is quite spectacular. And from there, from Breiriac, I was going to try and record something on Breiriac, but the wind got up. It wasn't that windy, but it doesn't take much with this little recording device, and all you can hear is the sound of, I don't know, it sounds a bit like someone banging a dustbin or something, I don't know, but you can't, anyway, you won't be able to hear me, that's the point. So the descent, I went down from Breiriac back down to where I started at in the Larrigrew, in that big huge pass that splits the Cairngorms, and from there back through the Charlemagne Gap, and eventually I was very pleased to get back to my little car, which was sitting waiting for me in the Forestry Commission car park. I hadn't received a ticket because I didn't pay, you see. I didn't pay. The Forestry Commission are listening to this. I've had it, because they're gonna come for me, aren't they? I didn't pay. I did try, but the machine was frozen solid and didn't work. So that's my defence, you know. Now, I don't know if the walk that I did was the most serious walk in Britain. I think it's got to be up there. It's got to be, if it's not the most serious, it's up in the top 10 or the top 5, possibly. I don't know what could be more serious, in a way. There's certainly a feeling of being in a very remote place, and very much on your own resources there. I did see, I met a couple of skiers, and I met a guide who was on his day off walking up Breiriac, which has got to be dedication, hasn't it? And he said it was the best day of the year in the Cairngorms, so there you go. I was lucky. Today, I'm not in the Cairngorms, I'm in my lounge window looking out, and there's a lot of cloud and some rain about, so I think I was dead lucky. Anyway, I do hope you've enjoyed my little podcast. I do hope you you think about going to the Cairngorms and exploring them for yourselves. It's an amazing place. It's a unique place in Britain, there's no doubt about that. And one little tip, what I did on this trip, which I've not done before, is I took a tin of haggis. It was Grant's Premium Haggis, it was called, and I ate that in the bothy. Very substantial, very filling, and of course, when you think about it, haggis was designed to be eaten in the Scottish Highlands. Well, that's what it's for. It's obviously, you know, it's not dehydrated or anything, but it was a very fine meal, I have to say. And I think part of the power I had walking across the Cairngorm Plateau probably has to do with Grant's very fine haggis. So there you go. And I'm not being paid by Grant's or anything like that. Not yet, anyway. So, as I say, I do hope you enjoy the podcast, and do go and see the Cairngorms for yourself. It's a great place. Somewhere that a national treasure, really, isn't it? I've been John Burns. Oh, I should say before I go, I'll be doing a written version of this, you know, different but the same. If you same trip, different words. That's what I'm trying to say. That I'll be putting up on my WordPress blog, and there'll be lots of photos and all sorts of stuff, and hopefully that'll get up in the next few days. But I've been John Burns. My blog is John D. Burns at WordPress, and it's about mountains, middle age, and much, much more. So if you've enjoyed this, do come back and listen again.